Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678 to reach us and leave a message and be a part of a future episode of this podcast. With me for this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing grand.
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you very much. And also my friend Alex. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, very good.
All right. Not a problem. Thanks for coming. So this is our 98th episode. We're approaching the 100th episode. Just want to drop that right now. But moving on, you guys know what you're missing. You guys should.
Congratulations.
No, thank you very much. So let's start off before we get to the football and week four and all the excitement that that was. Let's talk a little bit about baseball. Today starts the first of the wild card games right now. Technically, it's a play-in game. It's the one-game wild card game. 162 games comes down to one game, which I think is fair.
Well, yeah, but I mean, these five out of seven. I mean, who has that much time?
Yeah, one game, and if you do it, that's what they do in all football, and it works there. Mm-hmm. But football is a different beast because you play once a week, whereas baseball, basketball, hockey, you play five times, six times.
Well,
a week.
There's a sense of urgency, and, yes. And I like that as a fan.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want it, you know, to go two, three, four, five, six, seven games.
Yeah. Well, when they talk about, you know, they're treating this game like the seventh game of the World Series, how that's exciting, the seventh game of a World Series, of any series, of hockey, seventh game of any sport, it's exciting. So that's where it goes. So right now we have the Astros at the Yankees, speaking specifically about like the last couple days of the season, you know, the Angels and the Rangers and the Astros are really close together, and the Angels beat the Rangers. Rangers had a four-run lead, going into the bottom of the ninth. Rangers only had to get three outs, and the Angels came back, scored five to lead 11-10. And the Rangers up had a golden opportunity to possibly score, but with two out, Elvis Andrews steals second base, but he overslid the bag.
Wow.
And they tagged him, which was going to set up great, because then on the last day of the season, if the Angels win, then they are going to play the Yankees in a one-game playoff or the Astros or the Rangers, and then it was a big bust by about 4 o'clock because the Rangers scored 10 runs.
Well, the biggest bust was C.C. Sabathia in alcohol rehab.
This
guy drink alone? I mean, anybody else on the team drink with him? I mean, how do you come up with it on that day? You can't say, how about, Wednesday after the game?
No. Technically, they did say that the end of the season, they had a series in Baltimore. And apparently when he wasn't, you know, in the dugout with the rest of the team, he was back in his room drinking alone, like just pounding drinks over and over and over again. So, yeah, it kind of reached the point where, like, what am I doing? I'm sitting in a room while my teammates are elsewhere, and I'm just
drinking. And he doesn't have a schedule in his pocket. He doesn't realize he can do this in a week.
Guess not. But, look.
Shocking.
I know, but, yeah, I'll say to him, good for him. Like, that's tough. Like, any sort of addiction you try to get over, that's very difficult to do, so.
Yeah, but are we doing social work, or?
No. I'm just saying.
As a fan, you'd rather eat.
I'm not gonna hope that he's bloated and
all those Babe Ruth stories. I mean, how did this guy?
Well, that's true. But those cigars were magic.
But he wasn't.
they don't brew beer like they used to. What can I say? So CC's doing that right now. Yeah. But So the last game of the season, it all turned out to be a bust because everybody by about 4 o'clock, the games were over in terms of the scoring wise. So this one game playoff, Astros Yankees. I'd like to see the Astros win it, mainly because I'm not a Yankee fan.
Is that, full disclosure, Mets fan.
Well, yes, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here. Also, it's a more interesting story. I mean, I always believed that the Astros were a year too early. They've got a lot of really good players, young, really great players.
But don't they have the worst record to ever qualify?
What, for a playoff? No.
No?
No. Of any, the Mets were 82 and 79. 1973. The Yankees won 83 games in 2000.
Now, how many did Houston win?
Houston win? I think they won like 85, 87. Really? Well, they didn't win. I don't think they won 87 because the Yankees won 87, if I remember correctly, and they're hosting the game. So that's a big reason why that's happening. So, yeah, so I kind of would like to see the Astros win, but I'm thinking that maybe, you know, the whole CC thing might rally the team in terms of, you know, getting ready. The Astros had 86 wins, and I know that that's much more than what the least amount of wins ever qualified you for a playoff was. So, and then tomorrow it's the Cubs and the Pirates in Pittsburgh. That one's exciting because they're two Central Division rivals, and the Pirates, third straight year in the wild card game, third straight year. They've had some golden opportunities to win the Central Division, but they kept on blowing it, mainly because the Cardinals don't do anything wrong.
Oh, the Cubs are the story.
The Cubs are the story. Manager. Now, don't forget, of course, you're going to hear a lot about, you know, it's the, was it 30th anniversary of Back to the Future, and in the movie Back to the Future 2, they say that, oh, the Cubs won the World Series in 2015. So everybody's kind of circled this year and like, hey, what would be great if the Cubs win the World Series? And they're in the playoffs. They have a pitcher who won 21 games, who's got an under 2 ERA. They're the favorites in terms of the casual fan. Because you're, wait, Cubs, Back to the Future 2, same, oh, my gosh. So they're going to be the one to watch out for. And they could make a very legitimate run for it.
So who are you nailing your flag to the mast at this first game? Who's going to win it?
Well, here, I'm going to say Astros. And then tomorrow, I'll say Cubs.
And then the World Series?
Well, I mean, I have a personal interest because the Mets are in the World Series. Or not the World Series, I wish. The Divisional Series against the Dodgers. They're facing them again, third time in their franchise history. They're playing the Dodgers in the playoffs. And that's been split. Dodgers won once. The Mets won once against each other. So, and actually, a little bit of news.
If you had a bet, though, you'd bet the Cardinals?
Yeah, I guess. If I had some spare money.
The Yankees of the National League.
They really are. Honestly, if I'd put my money anywhere, it'd probably be Toronto. Maybe not to win, but they've got...
Well, you rooted for them last time they were in the World Series.
93. No, I was with Philly. I rooted for the Phillies that year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a tough one. As a child, as a 10-year-old child, to see the team you're rooting
Joe Carter.
For. Yeah, I was rooting for the Phillies that year. I moved to a different area that was closer to Philadelphia, and I thought, you know, 10-year-old mind, hey, I got to root for the nearest team, and oh, that happens to be the Phillies. I'll root for them, and it was just happened to be the year they went to the World Series. They had a great year, and I was like, oh, great, and then, you know.
What was that reliever's name?
Mitch Williams.
Mitch Williams, yeah.
Yeah, he gave up the home run to Joe Carter, only second time that a World Series ended on a home run.
Which and then they threw eggs at his house. And
oh, they death threats.
They couldn't go home for a month.
Oh, yeah. They hated him.
You took that sting of defeat and funneled it well into a lifelong support of the Mets.
That's right. Well, because I had been a Met fan previous to that, and I was just like, why did I even bother going somewhere else? If I want my heart broken, I'll go back there. Jeez, I'm not going to do this somewhere else.
Right.
So I decided to stick with the girl who brought me to the dance. And actually, we will be, my father and I and some other people will be going to the, Monday night, NLDS game 3, the playoff game, first time at a playoff game. So Everyman Sports will be there, representing.
And we chose that game because,
it's possible.
It's
heart.
3 out of 5, right?
Best 3 out of 5.
And with 2 in LA with those 2 stud pitchers.
Could be. Mm. Yeah. Kershaw. Well, yeah, there's a lot. It's a lot to see, and it's possible we're going to see Matt Harvey pitch, who now was late slash did not show up. So there was what was considered a voluntary workout for the Mets team today. They were supposed to go to Citi Field, do some workouts, talk strategy, just get loose and, you know, figure things out. And Matt Harvey, who's driving into the city from, I guess, I know he's from Connecticut, so he might have been living up there. But he's driving in and he hits traffic and he calls and says, hey, I'm going to be late. And so the manager, Terry Collins, says, you know what, don't even bother coming. You're stuck in traffic. We're almost done here. Just go back home. So it was thought that this was a voluntary workout. Like, hey, if you want to come, you can. But now it's come out in the press that the general manager, Sandy Alderson, said, no, this was mandatory. And he did not show up. He was late in traffic. And we just said, you're so late, by the time you get there, you're just going to turn right around again. So just go back home where you are. So
he's problematic.
It seems problematic. It's very much so. I mean, when he becomes a free agent, the Mets are obviously going to put a contract forward and say, here, look, here's an offer. You know, but I don't foresee the Mets going full bore for this player. And it's partially, it's been up and down this
season. What could they get for him in trade? Somebody will be around 10 years from now.
Probably a hitter. Maybe a corner outfielder. You're lucky if you can get like a middle infielder. That'd be best. Like a cornerstone middle infielder, shortstop, second baseman type. But I don't know. That's a discussion for a different day. So that's going to happen. So we're going to be at that game. And some other playoffs. The Royals are again. Was it? The Royals and are going to play either the Astros or the Yankees. The Royals went to the World Series last year. Yankees Royals would be an interesting matchup because that was them in the late
some
70s. What is it? 76, 77, and 80, I believe, are the three times they met. And they were all great matchups. And then the Blue Jays, first time in the postseason in, 22 years. They play the Rangers, who came on really strong at the end. I think Toronto might win that. Moving on to the next round.
You'll be here in O Canada.
Oh, Canada. yes, that's right. Interesting note, when early 90s, when CBS had the broadcast for the World Series, two of those years, they had it for four years, two of those years were when the Blue Jays made and won the World Series. They actually pretty much lost money because they couldn't value the Canadian viewership as compared to the American viewership. So this network is like, hey, we got baseball. Baseball's in its prime. It's big time early 90s. Right. And then they're like, oh, this Canadian team is in the World Series. Not a lot of Americans are watching. And we
just
don't
lost the West Coast.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't get anybody from nuts.
Even if all of Canada listened, it's 30 million. Mm. I mean, California has more people than that.
That's right. Absolutely. And so the Cubs or the Pirates are going to play the Cardinals. And that's just... It's sad to see it only be a 5-game series, best out of 5, because, first of all, the Cardinals are probably going to win. But also, you know, you would want those division rivals to play a lot of games together. But
that's what
the regular season's for. So I would like to see the Mets move on to the NLCS, but we'll talk more about that as the series progresses. So let's move on to week 4 in the NFL. Some highlights that we want to talk about. Let's start with the Monday night game. Seattle, well, first of all, that was a big defensive battle. The Lions and the Seahawks, right. Strong defense with each other. I mean, Russell Wilson fumbled twice.
I'd more say it was a struggling offenses than particularly that's competent
true.
Defenses.
That's very true.
Because, watching that game, like, first quarter, I was just like, what is going on?
I know. You're right.
Well, yeah. Seattle, this whole season hasn't been a good first half team, have they?
No, not really.
Well, they came out super strong in the opening weekend, and since then it's just kind of been faltering.
And even then, the Rams were very strong that week against them. It ended controversially with the Calvin Johnson reaching out for the end zone to get the ball over, and Cam Chancellor came in and punched the ball out, and then somebody else came out and batted the ball out of the back of the end zone.
Which should be a
penalty because you're not illegally batting the ball. Ball at the 1-yard line, first down for the Lions.
Right.
And there was about 1:30 left on the clock. Yeah. Baseball's got this better than football. In that baseball, you can protest a game. Like, we're playing this game under protest. We want this reviewed from a higher up or an outside committee or something, to where they can make a judgment call on that. I understand the logistics of you can't, if it's happening in the middle of the game. Like, hey, you can't start this game over.
How many times do they have to go to New York to these umpires or whatever that are there, referees?
Oh, right, when they have to review the play.
Yeah, so what's so hard about that?
Well, because the rules say, you know, it's a judgment call, it can't be reviewed, which, fine. But if you fix it in the off season where they change the rules, that doesn't help right then and there.
Is this entertainment or sport?
Well, it's entertainment, yes, but But you can't then also use the guise of sports as in this is a fair competition and this is a, if you can't have it both sides.
I think it only works. You only have a debate about this because it's you're not allowed to deliberately bat the ball, and the difference between deliberately batting a ball and oh I fumble oh I've knocked it out is a judgment. You can't right. objectively. I mean, in this case, he's very clearly made a move. To
yes.
just knock it away. There's no attempt yeah. to gather.
He's like, I want the, no, I don't want anything to happen. Which it's a good, it makes sense if you're a coach. Like, hey, great play. But at the same time, how do you not call that? And yeah. again, going back to protesting.
And then have the discussion.
Right.
But then, so say there is a protest mechanic. What do they do? Do they then, so protest upheld? Go play the last minute of the game.
But see, that's
on a
the
Wednesday.
Thing. I understand if it's like a play before the halftime. Okay, you're not going to play another 30 minutes of football. But under 2 minutes,
but
you can do that. That's not difficult.
In the bigger picture, if they're always right, I mean, we can never be smarter than them ever.
That's yeah. true. But this is the second time on a Monday night where a call in Seattle really just screws things up, and it causes discussion. I mean, it was
right.
the fail Mary where, you know, with the placement refs, one guy says it's touchdown.
That usually
other
happens
says,
to the Patriots, not the Seahawks.
Well, that's true. Mm. But it's in Seattle, and they've actually
right.
done studies that say that home field bias or home field advantage comes from referees. When you are one
yeah.
man or woman standing yeah. on a field surrounded by 40
yeah,
some odd people
yeah.
yelling and screaming.
It's generally known as the Stockholm Syndrome.
But they did a study where like they had soccer refs watch a game or
yeah.
parts of a game with no audio, and they'll make the call there. Whereas then they'll watch it with the audio,
right.
and they tend to, not always, but tend to side with whatever the home crowd chooses. It's not 100%, but if you want home field advantage,
well,
there it is. And Seattle's got it.
Through a history of boxing, that's called crowd control.
That too.
The only thing I'd say about that is having a long storied history with the Premier League, I wouldn't choose soccer refs as the standard of refs.
No, I understand that, but that was just where the study
they,
where they did the
they
study
paid
with.
By FIFA? Because I'd be concerned too.
Well, there's
I'd be concerned as FanDuel.
The situation
like a fair shake.
In the UK is weird because you can't. They're paid by the FA, and managers and players can't criticize them. So if you say, "I
right.
think that ref got that decision wrong," you get fined.
Yeah. Well, Cuba's been
and
doing
not
that
accountable.
Since 1958.
Mm. True. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mark Cuban's been getting fined from since like 2008. So yeah, he can't. Nobody can critique
well,
the refs.
He can afford to be outspoken.
Yeah, he's still
yeah,
on Twitter.
That's
he
true. But it just it really irks me when. This is clearly something, and it's something you can fix right then. Under 2 minutes?
Yeah.
You tell me you can't play a game
but,
for 1 minute left?
But let's look at the broader spectrum. And American football is not a mature game.
True.
It's the difference between blackjack and craps. I mean, craps is a mature game. It's played the same around the world. Blackjack has cute rules and all different things. It's still maturing. So football has the most rules.
Yeah.
Right? Of all the
true.
Sports? I think upwards to 5,000 if you can include uniform, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're constantly adjusting that, so
as
stay
soon
tuned.
As soon as you've got rules where the ref is throwing his hat about as a function of the game, you've got an interesting rule set.
This is where it was. I ran out of flags, my blue flag, my yellow
like
flag hat.
When they punted out of bounds, this guy keeps walking up the
yeah.
sideline. I mean,
he just can't stop it.
Not a major in geometry.
No. So, also, the first of the London games, the international series,
mm-hmm.
happened. Jets beat up on the Miami Dolphins, and Joe Philbin is out as head coach of Miami.
What took so long?
We all could have seen this
last
coming.
Year was the time. To
boy,
go.
This guy's a, and he came from the Packers. I really kind of, not many other Packer coaches who come out of there do well. Like if they're in, they keep it.
But nobody's mentioning the general manager. Who kind of...
Mike Tenenbaum, yeah.
Well, he messed up the Jets roster.
Yeah.
Got rid of some good veteran linemen, right?
Yeah, it's true. Alan Faneca. And
making some bad decisions.
True. But I will say a lot of people are high on Dan Campbell as a coach. I mean, this was a guy... He's part of that...
He was a tight end as a player,
he was
right?
a tight end as a player. He was drafted by the Giants... Was it the Giants? Basically, he's close with Parcells.
Right.
And with Parcells... Tenenbaum and Ireland and who's it? Tony Sperano. So he falls in technically the coaching tree of Bill Parcells, where right. Bill Belichick and Tom Coughlin are. So I'm kind of interested to see how well he's going to do, because I think he seems like a tough ass. Like,
right.
I know you're not going to. It's hard to motivate somebody like Sue. The Domkin Sue, but
when he has $60 million guaranteed,
right?
Or whatever that is.
But like Joe Philbin, like I was hearing stuff in the like the practice squad for practice leading up to this game against the Jets, where Ryan Tannehill was getting shaken by his incompletions against the practice squad guys, and then when they were like leaving practice, he would yell at the enjoy your practice squad money, enjoy your money for today, because yeah, your practice squad just. Holding it over their heads, like you're not nothing. I'm something. I'm a big man. So, just all this stuff.
Well,
you know,
I think it's
weak-minded stuff.
What shocked me was like week one, week two. There was a lot of hype around the Dolphins. Like there was optimism.
Off season,
and just how quickly that's turned to, we've been found out.
A big time surprise team. I mean, how many things did we see that had the Dolphins as a sleeper?
Well, yeah, that was a warning sign to stay off that.
Yeah.
But I did hear a lot about that.
The Dolphins.
But Tannehill is not a deep thrower.
No, he's not.
It's not, you know, so he's more defensible. You know, it hurts the team.
It does. That's number one. Well, they haven't had a serviceable quarterback really since Marino. Maybe Pennington for a season, but it's all been downhill since Marino. Baltimore finally got a win. They won in Pittsburgh. Josh Scobie, we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I tell you what, I think the moving back of the extra point has affected a lot of these kickers. I know it's always been said like kickers are a little bit. You know, mentally, like they have some difficulty. Like their confidence really, really wanes and waxes. And so.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Well, remember, we've gone over 1,000 times. Your job is a kicker. If you do it, you get no recognition. You did your job. You fail, you are the scorn of the earth. How'd you miss it? You have one job.
I think it's more just the fact that in every other position, you can come back the next play and do better.
True.
Kickers, that might be the only thing you do in the game, and then you sit on it for 7 days.
But often the kickers are your best golfers on the team.
That's true, yes.
They do have that body control.
That's true,
and
they do.
So, you know, I'm not feeling that part. But
no.
But they're not players.
No. I can understand
okay.
that.
They're specialists.
They're very, yeah. They are very, very much specialists.
I mean,
yes.
They don't wear any protection at all. I mean, the guy's running out there in a long-legged bathing suit or whatever.
Some kickers didn't even used to wear shoes.
Yeah,
they used to go barefoot.
Well, the way they were paying them then.
Well, that's true. But yeah, I mean, but it's the only sport where you ice one, like you ice the kicker. You don't ice the quarterback. You don't ice the running back.
If it happens in normal play, the defense is like, ooh, I need to stop the quarterback.
Oh,
it's just a timeout. But yeah,
I know.
With the kicker, it's, oh, I've iced him. Because
right.
it's so
you
much think, more of
because you're thinking
aspect.
About it, because yeah. the way it all comes down to this one moment. Speaking of kickers, I do want to talk about...
Was that San Diego game?
The San Diego-Cleveland game. We were watching the game because it went to bonus coverage.
Sure.
Oh, no, it was in our area. It was local. That was a very good game, by the way. Cleveland, yeah. Cleveland-San Diego, back and forth, really, really, really good. But I told you, I noticed something. Rivers, when he took the final kneel down to set up the field goal, you usually try to get as center between the
he
hash marks
went
as
a
possible.
Bit left, yeah. You think?
I saw him go directly down right on the right hash mark.
Now,
and I said to you.
Yeah, it did look odd. I think back in the day, old school, you would have done that. But I'm thinking today, with everyone's a soccer-style kicker, that some might want it on the right hash.
I understand that. But the whole point, well, the field goal, the extra points, they put them in the center. Mm. Like, that's optimal. You put it
right.
in the center. That way, if you shank it or you hook it...
Oh, I get it.
A little bit.
But so we don't know that nuance, like, where he wanted it.
No, I know. But it was just interesting, because you see other players, they'll take one step back, they'll find the center, and they'll kneel down.
Yeah.
So at this point, he sets it over there, and as soon as that happens, he missed the kick. Now, granted, that came back on a penalty by
right.
Cleveland, so he got a second chance... 5 yards closer.
Yeah.
So it did work out, but I'm watching
right.
and I'm saying, Rivers almost may have screwed this up, which is sad to say. Poor Rivers. you know.
With seven children.
With seven children.
He's got mouths to feed.
But no, that was a really good game, and you hit on the bounce theory.
The bounce theory hit, yeah.
Arizona had scored three straight games of, they equaled 100 points over
126, actually.
Three straight games
so
they
So they were testing
accumulated.
The high limits of that theory, and they failed.
And the Rams came, and they could have, you know, Arizona had a chance, but it just didn't work out. So the bounce theory hit on that one. And, yeah, so that was the big game, Dallas and New Orleans, that backup quarterbacks are just not doing well this season. And that's why their backup quarterbacks, Brandon Whedon, is not.
Wasn't he a baseball player?
I think Jimmy Clausen. Oh, I might have been.
I think Whedon.
Mm. Probably. I know Jimmy Clausen was, too. And, oh, who was the guy?
Russell Wilson.
Well, Russell Wilson. There was a Yankee.
Kaepernick.
He was a Yankee pitcher, and he was.
John Elway.
Somewhere else. I forget who.
No, Elway.
No, that's true. Yeah, Elway. He said when he was drafted by the Colts in 83,
yeah.
He said, I'm not playing for you. I'll go pitch for the Yankees. And so they.
Steinbrenner helped raise his salary by doing that.
That's right. So then he
creating another bidder.
Yeah, he went back into the. And then. Denver picked him up.
Deion Sanders?
Yeah. Prime time. He played both. Brian Jordan, I think, was the last one.
So in the minor leagues, he's taking the bat and he's throwing a dollar sign.
Dollar sign.
In the dirt.
He did that
and
in front of Carlton.
And they asked him after the game, like, what are you doing? He said, well, football's my wife. Baseball's my girlfriend.
He did that in front of, I think it was like his rookie season, but he did that, and Carlton Fisk, as the catcher, was right in there. He's like, what are you doing? They actually got into a fight.
Right.
He's like, what are you writing the dollar sign for? Shut up, I'm Deion.
Oh, Deion, yeah.
Yeah, so those are big. So let's look at week number three, or I'm sorry, week five coming up.
Right.
And let's take a look at those games real quick. So any of that jump out at you, any of the...
Well, I'm liking Cincinnati at home, 4-0 against Seahawks.
Yeah, that's and good for Cincinnati. I like them. I like to see them do well. I think, and you notice that the line before
they had the wrong side favorite
before the Lions before the Monday night game. That,
right.
It was Seattle
getting 1.5,
but now Cincinnati is at home.
They were giving 1.5 to Cincinnati. Now they've flipped. Yeah.
Right, so Seattle is getting 3 in Cincinnati.
Right.
Other games of note, Patriots come off the bye at Dallas.
They're at 100. They're at 119 over their last three games. But now you got to factor the bye in there, and they have tested that limit before. Brady has overcome that.
Yeah.
Rodgers has overcome that.
Right.
Joe Montana would in the
sure.
past, but not many.
No, very few. So, any games that you would consider a best bet this week?
Well, that's what we already have, Cincinnati.
So you like Cincinnati
and I'm
getting
liking
3.
The Giants, but that line's 7 over San Francisco.
Mm.
I think that's an experiment gone horribly wrong.
Which, San Francisco?
San Francisco,
oh, that's
yeah,
they're
have,
bad news.
Multitudes of problems there.
Right.
And now you're coming cross-country.
Oh, that's bad. It's
and,
nothing's
well,
going
a game that interests me a lot. And is Oakland at home against Denver? I think Oakland is an improved team.
They absolutely are an improved team.
You know, and this is divisional.
This
and,
is big.
Denver's had their way with them.
Mm-hmm. Denver, and we've brought up this statistic before. Denver, they have a divisional road winning streak.
Something like 14 in a row.
14 in a row.
On the road in
against,
their division.
Against AFC West teams.
Yeah. So
yeah, you can see it against Oakland for the last 3 years, but something like Kansas City, that's
a
little hard to believe. You know, Chargers, San Diego, that's not really surprising, I'll be honest. All right.
Well, they played 8 divisional games a year, right?
No, 6, because they are the 4th team in the division.
Oh, right.
So it's three
away games
each season. So,
that's 3, 6, 9. That's a lot. So, all right, so you like Seattle?
No, I don't. You like
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
So Cincinnati giving
like
3.
Cincinnati, yeah.
And
I like,
Giants.
I like Yeah, I'm going to take a shot with Oakland at 4.5.
4.5, Oakland.
And the Giants.
Right. Yeah,
home.
All right, so Oakland, Giants.
San Francisco's secondary is a mess, and they're coming alive. Now, with Beckham, I heard he had an altercation in the game last week.
Yeah, he was fighting. Bills players have come out and said that Beckham was, like, punching and shoving stuff and right behind the, like a teacher,
yeah.
Like behind the teacher's back. Hey, he did this to me. Well, I didn't see it.
That reminds me of he's retired now for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hines Ward.
Hines Ward. He Hines would do Ward. Stuff like that. He has such a wonderful smile. He never looked like he was doing wrong.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy. All right, so those are some good picks. My fantasy teams both won this week, personal and in the Everyman Sports League.
Wow.
You
finally beat the wife.
I didn't play
your
her.
Score, I'm sorry.
No.
Just on the weekends.
No.
He has a day job.
Not on Sundays. Actually, I beat my sister-in-law. She's in the league.
Oh,
and,
so you're indiscriminate with her.
But I tell you what, another big storyline from this past week was Andrew Luck. Morning of Sunday, they said, nope, he can't go. So Matt Hasselbeck. So I had to scramble to find a backup quarterback. I found Andy Dalton in one league.
Right.
In my personal league, and then I found Matt Hasselbeck in my.
That was a good one. That was a game of note because he's 40
yes.
years old, the quarterback, and the kicker Vinatieri is 42.
Right, and both scored, or technically.
Yeah. So I mean, that's
Hasselbeck.
Big news.
Yeah, Hasselbeck threw for just under 300 yards, and he threw a touchdown.
Right.
But I mean, the other big ones of note for me this week were Brandon Marshall and Devontae Freeman. My gosh. He is all over back-to-back weeks of three rushing touchdowns. That's unbelievable.
Are you anticipating a bounce with Atlanta?
You got to think
this,
so.
Or this rolls on at home.
If they're home, they might. They might pick up. But that'd be interesting. So, yes.
What about New Orleans at Philadelphia? I heard Chip Kelly's press conference, and the guys aren't executing. Not that he's not doing his homework. So
I drew these plays up. Why these players can't do it, I'll never know.
Well, to me, he went from the smartest guy in the room to dummy up.
That's true. Look at their backfield to be like, they don't know what their best players are and how to play them.
Yeah.
That's the thing I see. It's
yeah.
That, yeah.
True.
But I mean, I don't know. I want to blame DeMarco because he knew what he was getting into, but at the same time,
if he could choose now, he would have stayed.
Oh, God, yes, he would have stayed.
You would.
Absolutely. Also, that tells you just how weak the Eagles' offensive line is. Yeah.
But
so
also,
who do you get in to
but
play behind that line?
Yes, a guy who was the player who had the most yards because of an all-Pro Bowl line. That's right.
But didn't he have dollar signs in his eyes?
Well, of course, they all do.
If you only have 8 years to make your money before a career-ending injury, you're going to chase the money.
But I think it's fair that the Eagles were right to move on from LeSean McCoy.
Because?
Well, he's not doing it. He's also injured. But let's say if he was injured this year with the Eagles, then they'd be saying, oh, gosh, DeMarco Murray is out there. We could have had him. Why didn't we go after him? So
you never
win.
But he doesn't run well out of the shotgun, DeMarcus Murray. I mean, he's...
No, DeMarco, no.
Proverbial downhill runner.
Absolutely. Well,
Ryan Matthews is a great fit.
True, which also shows you just how good Romo is compared to somebody like Bradford. I mean, that's just...
Is he shaking ring rust, or that's just what he is?
I think that's partially what it is, because don't forget, he didn't get younger while he was injured. He
so
got
you change
a
your starting
older.
Quarterback, you change your starting running back, and you change
Since
your
starting,
starting
wide
receiver.
Receiver,
and you wonder, hey, how'd things go wrong?
Hey, what happened?
So 10-6 wasn't good enough.
No, it definitely wasn't. Alex, so I know you also play fantasy football. How did your teams do this week?
So I'm in four leagues on NFL.com and the Everyman Sports League on Yahoo.
That's right.
Yahoo, not great. In my window size on my laptop, you don't see the defense, so naturally started the Patriots as my defense, which is a bad sign.
They're on a bye.
They were at the pub.
Yeah.
Yes, that did not work out for
but
you.
But yeah, mixed.
Well, I got to tell you, man. I love you, and I've given you some advice. Not that I am the end all be all, but I think you got to get rid of Wes Welker. I know Antonio Gates is back.
He's already on an upcoming waiver. So
that's right. Yeah.
For a kicker. Of the dual kicker.
That's right. Two kickers in this league. That's right, baby.
Under the infinite wisdom of Chad. What? The dual kicker
league.
Get
points.
Yeah. It's worth a shot.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to try some. I also wanted to kind of even it out because there are a lot of people who go with the no kicker.
Mm.
So they can use that roster spot for a running back that they can stash for another time. Well, if you have two kickers, all right, if you want to do that.
Get rid of one.
There are some people who
have 7 points that you're not getting.
That's right.
Time, yeah.
There are now people in the league who have decided to only use one kicker, which is fine, but I am sort of noticing that they're on the back end of the standings.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that's a direct result. However, the whole point of this league was to make it even because we have some real heavy hitters in terms of.
Like, well, what about Kansas City's kicker? Didn't he have
seven?
Seven.
Five.
Well, last week,
he had 21 points.
Right. No, I don't know about that. I know he kicked.
Ravens kicker saved me last week.
Oh, the Raven. Yeah, the Ravens kicker. That was a big one.
But I think Kansas City's all their points were field goals. Right?
Oh no, all their points were field goals. But I think it was
21.
Oh, no, I think it was 12. Hold on, I'll pull it up in a second. So that was the big thing. No, oh wow, 21. I guess you are right.
Yeah, seven. I mean, that's huge.
No, I know.
It's always depressing when your kicker is the leading point scorer for your team.
Right.
That has happened.
Carlos Santos.
Or your safety is the leading tackler.
Yeah. Yes, Carlos Santos. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, apologize. Seven
it's
field
a
goals.
Strong day, worth mentioning.
Right.
I do prefer the dual kicker league to IDP. IDP is too much.
Which one's that, IDP?
Individual defensive players.
Oh, those are the worst.
Yeah.
Where you have to pick.
What?
Or
yeah,
Josh
yeah.
Norman.
You get J.J. Watt being picked in like
Josh
fourth
Norman,
round.
These last two ones, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I cannot stand those. I'm all for some crazy stuff in fantasy, but that individual defensive players is nuts.
Like
no,
I have
thank
like
you.
Danny Trevathan as a linebacker. It's like, great, there's 4 points every game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
like
so
you,
excited.
You have to try and find a really porous defense. Like, who's a bad defense that's going to get a lot of tackles?
Jags, middle linebacker. Like, honestly, seventh round pick. Best decision someone made.
Yeah, because that works totally opposite. Where on the other side, you look like, what's a really good team offensively?
Which
oh yeah, I'm gonna get
is never getting the ball.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. So you never want that. So, all right. So that's it. So we'll probably try to record at the stadium if we can. If we can't,
sure.
I'll figure something out. But Alex, thank you very much for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me.
Dad, thank you very much for
You're
joining
welcome.
Me this week. And, so we'll see you at Citi Field on Monday night.
Let's go Mets.
Yeah, that's right. Let's go Mets. All right, Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.